The best way to start your day. Peter St. James and Pat Kelly. 6 to 10 a.m. Good Morning New Hampshire. Weekdays on 107.7 The Pulse.
'67 Grassroots, Rob Grill, Things I Should Have Said. Been there, done that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Court of Orthopedic Opine. The Honorable Doug Moran in session. Please rise.
Well, I enjoyed that that tune, Peter.
Things I Should Have Said, what,
no,
to your patients?
I wrote one time that said, Things I Shouldn't Have Said.
Oh, well, yeah. Ah. Well, see, Pat and I always maintain that things in our head sound so good.
They do.
But all of a sudden it comes out, it's like, damn, it doesn't sound as good.
That just didn't come out right.
Yeah, no, put it back in my head. Doug Moran from Concord Orthopedics. Dr. Doug Moran is back with us. How are you?
Great.
Looking natty.
Well, it's got
today.
A little spring look, like outside. It's finally come, which is fantastic.
That is a pattern that attracts black flies, you know.
I figured
I'd let you know. So could you stand with us outside?
Your sentence was good until black flies.
Yeah, I know. I got it. Well, okay. Would you prefer it? I say ticks?
How about human beings of some description?
My God. So you staying busy?
Yeah, it's busy. It's, as I like to say, it's we have fun taking care of our young athletes, high school athletes, college athletes, and even we take care of the Fisher Cats. But the people, I like to say the people keep me the busiest are the people my age. Because
40, 45?
Yeah. Maybe 48, okay. 49.
Okay.
Because in our fathers, certainly our grandfather's generation, they had a certain injury, and they said, well, I've had a good run, and they sit on the porch, and that's about it. But now people want to do a 5K, and they want to play golf, and they want to play pickleball or whatever the latest is, and they're saying, I want this fixed so I can play. So we do.
There you go. And you have to make the call between cruciate retaining or posterior stabilizing.
Yeah, those are nuanced calls, though. It's funny that you say that because sometimes people will get excited about different little well, they're important questions. If they're important questions to them, they're important questions. But when you talked about the cruciate sparing and the cruciate retaining total knees, I'm reminded about conversations I've had, which are fine. We're happy to have them.
Things you should have said.
See?
Okay, see, it all comes back, Doug.
How long is this show?
We're until 10. Take your time.
Good. Who follows you? I might have a little run over.
Go ahead.
Sometimes people will say, well, what kind of total knee are you going to use? Because I saw an ad for Zimmer or I saw an ad for Stryker, and it looked really good. And when it comes to those kind of nuanced calls, discussing which brand of total knee is a little bit like three guys discussing whether their Lexus is better than his BMW, which is better than his Mercedes.
Yeah.
Right.
They're all great equipment, and it's as I like to say, it's the archer, not the arrow.
Ooh, nice. So how thin a line is it do you have to have conversations with the patient about the removal of the posterior cruciate ligament or the preservation of the posterior cruciate ligament.
Well, the things I should have said. Is that where they're?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Maybe that's things I should have said, but I don't have that discussion with the patient.
You don't?
Because their knee usually determines which is a better operation. Yeah. Yeah, if their architecture of their knee, the range of motion of their knee pre-op often determines which is the
best. So it's pretty clear-cut as opposed to removal or stabilization?
Clear-cut in terms of which you should do,
yeah.
And then in a lot of cases, clear-cut that it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
That they'll do if it's put in right and the alignment's good, that they both work great. As a matter of fact, it's probably a conversation in the orthopedic community nationally that's raged for 30 years completely unresolved. So you'll have, if you went to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery arthroplasty day, mm-hmm. you'd have Joe Blow talking about
Dr. Joe Blow.
Hopefully.
Sorry.
Yes, yeah, right.
That's right. You know.
talking about you should use cruciate substituting, and other people say, no, you should retain the cruciate. And it's gone on a long time, and it's unresolved, which means they're both good.
Okay. Interesting. Which lasts longer, hip or knee replacement?
A hip, typically.
Really?
A hip is a simpler joint. A knee has more rotation. A hip is more just a ball in a socket.
Which is more load-bearing, though?
Oh, they're both the same.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I get 10 years out of it, 15 years out of a knee?
You? 3.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
What?
Normal
okay.
people?
Is it the weight or is it the
it's the attitude. It's your bad attitude.
Okay.
It's your bad attitude.
Okay.
No, it is. When the people, we talk about how long joints last, and typically the answer is 10 to 15 years. We think that the modern joint will last way longer than that. It's like if you asked, how long does a 1982 Chevy Caprice last? Well, you can look it up. How many are on the road?
Sure.
How many are on the road? But I think probably Chevy thinks the 2018 Chevy Caprice is a better vehicle than the 2002.
Makes sense.
And they hope it, I think experientially, just my looking around cars, people keep the cars longer now than they ever did because they're better. But we don't know that those cars are going to last longer until they last longer. Mm. But the anticipation is that they'll last longer. So if a 68-year-old person has a knee replacement and they are fit like you and bright like you and
you can come back anytime.
Only there. Do the appropriate things. Thank God this is radio.
Well, like I said, orthopedic opine.
Yeah,
this is great.
then I would tell the person, here are the statistics about how long they're supposed to last, 10, 12, 15 years. But I would say, honestly, I'll bet $20 this lasts until you're 90. But you can't say that.
You can't
say that for sure because you don't know. And then there are other things that happen they can have.
Do you have a little whole harmless form that they have to sign? At the end, a little disclaimer that the attorney's got on?
You know, that's a funny thing.
I haven't had this, so I don't know.
No, we don't. I mean,
okay.
those there's different aspects of what we do that certain people have suggested those kind of things, but we don't do them. And who knows if they work anyway, but no, we don't do them.
A lot of the procedures are little, small holes are, on the arthroscopic.
The arthroscopic procedure, which is that what we try to do to keep people away from
right.
arthroplasty, which is the replacing of the joint. The holes are really, they're really small.
Yeah, but I think most people, the conception is, you know, and these honking 9-inch scars. And
well, for the knee replacement, certainly it's a honker.
Yeah.
Although, you know what, funny? For the knee replacements, when they do well, nobody complains about their scar. I mean, if they're pain-free and their motion's good and their life's restored, they almost say, look at this, how cool is this? Not really, but they don't complain about their scars. The arthroscopy, we have the opposite problem when we do arthroscopy because even though the portals, the little holes, as you say,
right.
are very small, sometimes the instrumentation we're able to get in the knee and what we're able to do in the knee through those little holes is considerable. And you're doing a big operation that requires appropriate amount of rest, appropriate amount of rehab. And it's hard to explain to people that you had a big operation because they look down and they see 2 or 3 little holes.
Right.
And they're like, I should be able to get up and do whatever I want. And sometimes that gets in the way of they're getting better, because the clear evidence that they need to rest and take it easy for a while isn't there. They just see these little holes. And the other thing is that sometimes they have an acquaintance who had an arthroscopy and had a less involved operation through the holes that look the exact same. They're like, well, Charlie was skiing in 2 weeks.
Right.
And for what Charlie had, he was skiing in 2 weeks. But for what you have, you're going to be on crutches for a month. But the incisions look the same, so it's hard to explain.
So there's no one-size-fits-all thing?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Okay.
The size that fits all is that your surgeon speaks to you and treats you like an individual. And this sounds a little silly. You don't have to like him like you're going to have beers with him, or you don't have to like her like you're going to go out to dinner with her, but you got to have that connection that they are talking to you and understand you and care about you. And it's not let's go on vacation together, but I've had situations where I've gone to different practitioners who were, I'm sure, great people, and I was with one of my children or myself, and they didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't feeling it. And
so you know how we feel.
I get that.
But I mean, in terms of consumers coming in, I don't know you.
You have to be able to.
We're not going to be best buds. So just, but you want to get that feeling.
You have it. Yeah. And most of the time you can recognize that.
Yeah.
And if it's just like, I really like people who wear pattern ties and he has a solid color tie on.
Right.
Yeah, it's not really. But if it's like you don't like the manner, it doesn't have to be important. There are other doctors.
Can you doctor shop? I mean, do you have people doing that?
I think doctor shopping's great.
Really?
Oh, I think doctor shopping has had...
You don't take it personal?
Oh, no, not
okay.
at all.
Okay.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, a couple of things. Doctor shopping's got a bad rap because people typically might doctor shop for pain med, for opiates. That's been in the news a lot.
Right.
Somebody will get 6 OxyContin from somebody else and then 25 from somebody else and then find somebody else when they doctor shop that'll give them 50.
Well, there's always somebody going to abuse the system,
correct.
Doug. You know
but,
that.
But one's ability in our system, whatever you think that system should be, or if you like the one that we have, the ability to leave Dr. X and make an appointment with Dr. Y is essential. And I would encourage people to do it. As a matter of fact, if you have a physician, especially a surgeon, but I think all physicians maybe, to whom you suggest you might want to get a second opinion, and if they look put out by that suggestion, you already need a new doctor. Because what are they worried about?
Yeah.
They're worried about a different opinion. If they're right, then they should think their opinion will be upheld.
But if somebody comes to you and says, okay, the cruciate, you say cruciate removal. And they go, they go to either one of your colleagues or some other place, and they say, oh, no, we can do the retention, or we can do preservation, which is diametrically opposite where you are. Does that make you look silly?
No.
Or? Okay.
No. And,
okay.
And but what will happen sometimes is you'll have an opinion that you should have this operation and
right.
and or no operation. That's another thing. They're like, well, I want you to fix me. I'm like, what you have really shouldn't be operated on. You should lose some weight, take some Advil or some Aleve, and ride a stationary bike. Like, well, I want to get fixed. I want to be able to do my 5K in 2 months. I'm like, well, I don't think you'll be able to do that. I think there's a great saying in surgery, there's no situation so bad that the wrong operation can't make it worse.
Sounds like radio.
So,
okay.
but if they don't like that, I'll encourage them. I'll say, go get a second opinion. Make it somebody good, and you can go anywhere you want, which is great. They might have a cousin who lives in New York City. Go down to New York City and see somebody. Second opinion should never, ever, ever bother a surgeon, certainly, who's confident in his opinion. And sometimes he might be wrong. How about that?
Hmm.
In which a second opinion would be helpful. But I like doctor shopping. If you have that connect, if you don't have the connection, see somebody else.
Do you see customers, patients, overestimating their injury? And overestimating their ability to overcome it, and overestimating, I want to be back 100%.
Funny that you say that, because one of the things I will say all the time when people say, so am I going to be perfect? I'll stop and I'll say, listen, if you have a surgeon who uses the words 100%, perfect, or good as new,
run like hell.
Run.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there is no way. There is original equipment.
Right.
And there is phenomenal
aftermarket. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
But there is original equipment.
OEM. Yep.
And,
yep.
And our problem sometimes because things maybe the surgical community oversells things is just that you're going to be absolutely I never say that because it's absolutely wrong.
But I'll be able to function, but I'll be doing it without pain.
No, you'd be better than you are now.
Okay,
and
right.
And then the other nuance is there are a lot of situations in which someone will say, how much better do you think I'll be? And there's sometimes where you can say, yeah, I think you'll be 85-90%.
Now, how do you come up with that number?
Experientially, I'm clear that it's an estimate, but then sometimes you'll say, you know, I think you'll be better than you are. You could be 18% better. You could be 38%, or you might even be 58% better. It's not going to be 98, but I don't think it's going to be 8. So then the patient has to decide. Well,
is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not worth it. Now,
because the rehab involved on knee is more than hip.
Yeah, yeah, for a total knee.
So in terms of commitment, you have to make to this.
Yeah, for an arthroscopic knee, probably half my patients don't go to rehab. They just.
They don't? Really?
No. Oh, okay. They just. Rehab is fantastic. I've been there myself, they've worked on me. But sometimes you just need a little bit of motivation. Find yourself a stationary bike, and as we all know, they're like a fruitcake at Christmas. They're all over the place, and no one really wants to keep one.
Boy, they're always at yard sales.
Oh my gosh!
If you see them out on the front lawns,
yeah. I'm convinced there's a statute in the state that you're not allowed to have a yard sale without selling a stationary bike.
Or the little Chuck Norris gym that you could those are always out on the yard sale too.
Yours isn't, though. Yours is used.
Oh, no, I'm still using
yours
mine.
Yours is used,
No, I hang flowers off of them.
So, fine, for my arthroscopic procedures, half the time it's, do you have a stationary bike? And they'll say, no. I'll say, well, you can find one, just like we said.
Right.
And I think you might save a bunch of copays by just getting the stationary bike, putting it in front of your TV. Do you watch any TV shows? Yeah, I watch, I watch The Simpsons. Okay, you watch The Simpsons? So when The Simpsons comes on, you start riding the bike, and when The Simpsons goes off, you get off your bike. There it's you really go. Simple. There it really is simple.
Hmm. When you first started doing arthroscopic surgery, you didn't have digital cameras and all the modern technology. It must be sweet now compared to when you started.
It is. It's better. It's always better. It's like,
as
I said, we talked about cars and everything's better. It has to be to compete. The interesting thing is I was really lucky because probably 5 or 6 years before I trained, the arthroscopic camera equipment was really bad. As a matter of fact, in the early arthroscopy, it was done differently. And then it was changed, fortunate for me, right when I started my training. And all the subsequent changes have been nuanced change. They have not changed the basic way one does an arthroscopy, the way the instruments are made, the way you hold them, the way you look at the TV monitor and move your hands to do the arthroscopy. Where 8 years previously, it was so new that people ended up having to unlearn the old way. It's probably like you and I on a computer.
Yeah.
Meaning, we can get around.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
But but you see a 16-year-old and
like a chimp with a banana.
Right.
Yeah,
so I was really lucky because when I started, the arthroscopy was just super hot, and all the changes subsequent that have been important and good and wonderful, and the picture's clearer than ever. But the basic approach to doing an arthroscopy hasn't changed.
But those little holes, I mean, as you said, small.
Yeah, like the size of a pencil.
Yeah, but you're in there working, and how do you have
the tip of the instrument's working? So typically you'll have a handle on an instrument, and then you'll have the shaft of the instrument, and then the working part of the instrument will just be at the end.
Wow.
So you're controlling it with your hand, and then the tip. is working. And so for something like a meniscus tear or a loose body in the knee,
yeah,
the only thing really moving is the little jaws, this little Pac-Man thing in it. It'll bite out what you need to bite out.
And thank then you for dumbing it down for us. I appreciate that.
That's how I refer
no,
to Pac-Man, it, too.
No, I like that. I can understand.
Although that's generational, too.
Yeah, it is.
anybody under 40 said, what's a Pac-Man?
Oh, please. If I sit there and say, hey, it's a great day, roll down the window when you're ready to work. People go, roll down the window?
Are you allowed
to? Well, what do you call it? I don't know. It's right. Roll down the window. So you still having fun?
Oh, great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You really like what you do, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I love it. No one likes every minute of every day.
I was obviously you've heard the show.
Yeah, if it's
several minutes every day.
If it's 3 a.m. and someone has a self-induced injury and I'm there, it is not easy to be light and sunny, but it's essential right. that you be respectful and do a good job.
So what are you doing today? What's going on?
I have a great schedule. All my days are
the golf course. Oh, okay.
I can't. If I did that, if I play more golf, I'll lose my number one excuse for not being any good. So I want to
gotta keep that. No, you're right.
You can. I do
that, plausible deniability.
That illusion that I probably would be good.
Yeah.
I want that. I don't want to give. That
no, up. No. I hear. I could be if.
I would if yeah, I would yeah. be so good.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then when you get the time, you find you still stink.
Yeah, then
it's crushed. You know,
then,
I get that.
And then you gave up your day job.
Yeah, no, I get
so,
it.
So, but I usually spend half my days in the office and half in the operating room. And it's a great, I love the change in mojo between the two.
Are you at any of the satellite offices?
New London.
You are in New London.
New London.
Okay.
I had been at Derry, but I was, most of us are only at one satellite. And when we started Derry, I was in charge of the group. I'm not anymore. And Peter Nordzee is now, does a great job. But when we started Derry, I was. So I had to go to Derry because if I was in charge of the group and making decisions, right. I had to know about it and where it was.
New London's a nicer ride in the summer.
New London, I love New London.
It's a great little place.
It's gone through a bunch of changes, but I've been in New London for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Every Wednesday for 25 years. And the reason it was Wednesdays that I went to New London was because they didn't have any office space up there, but I found that two of the general surgeons up there took Wednesdays off. So I said, can we lease your staff and your exam rooms for Wednesdays? They said, yeah, that works for us. So
sure.
I've gone Wednesday.
Sweet.
And then subsequently we have our own office and we have more people up there. But for me, it's always been Wednesdays.
With any more satellites?
It's a good question. We always think about it and you know, the landscape changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's anything on the drawing board right now, but who knows?
Because your name, I mean, Concord Orthopedics, the name is like the platinum standard or the titanium standard. I mean, the name is golden. And I talk to people from the North Country, people from the Seacoast, people from the Valley. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going in to see Nordsee. I'm going in to see, Ron Resnick or whoever. But they're like best friends and they trust you.
Well, that gets back, that's the best compliment because that gets back to what I was talking about before. I think about all the disparate personalities that sit before you and chat about their work, but you gotta be a good guy. You gotta be, and Karen's a great woman. You have to make that connection. You'd never make a connection with 100% of the people, but in general, they have to understand that you care about them, and it's not just an assembly line, and you're going to do the operation you want to do. You should do the operation, or, as we said before, say you don't need an operation if that's the case. You have to have that trust. If you don't have it, I hope Concord Orthopedics provides that trust to our patients every day. But if you go to Concord Orthopedics and that doesn't happen, well, maybe I'll say the next thing to do is try one of the other people there. But if that doesn't happen, don't ever stay with anyone with whom you're not making enough of a connection to have that leap of faith, which was required every time you put a gown on.
No, well, makes sense. All right. Well, so do we stay with the Iranian deal or do we back up? Oh, I'm sorry. That's somebody else. I'm sorry.
We recorded that earlier. We did a half an hour. Maybe
we'll play back on that.
Yeah, that's Sunday morning, right?
See, you and I could talk politics.
No, you talk about our last rodeo.
Yeah, I know. I know it would be.
You ever have anybody in college who had a lease breaking party at the end of the year?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that would be.
But it would be a hell of an 8-second ride.
That would be the radio equivalent of a lease breaking party.
As long as we're on for 8 seconds, that's all. That's all that matters.
I'd have a lot of time to play golf.
Then you'd have to make your game better.
You bet I would.
Dr. Doug Moran, Concord Orthopedics, and very quickly, is the acute injury clinic going well?
It's great, and it's one of those things that everybody loves it. We love it, and I think the community loves it, and the practitioners love it. Because it's quicker. We don't take care of all the challenging things that our great ER at the hospital takes care of, but for those things that for which it's appropriate, you hurt your knee, you hurt your ankle, you hurt your hip, you bang your elbow, it's efficient and it's cost saving.
Sweet. All right, we'll go do that voodoo you do. The court will now be in recess. Please rise as Dr. Moran leaves now.
Thank you, Peter. Nice to meet you with you always.
We'll take a break. Back with more.
We start your day the right way. Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly. Weekdays, 6 to 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Pulse.